And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome to Radio Jobline. It must be Saturday afternoon between 2 and 3 p.m. or Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. We broadcast twice a week. Talk about your career, your ability to go on a job interview, how you're doing with video interviews, for example. We talk about different industries. We talk about different topics for being a more engaged employee, a more successful employee. We talk about raises. We talk about harassment. There's nothing we don't talk about here as it relates to the workplace of Long Island and the country. Today, we have one of our favorite guests, Matt Santarpia and Eric Buchholz. They are representing the hospitality industry, the restaurant industry, which has taken a brutal beating over the last year. And although companies like Culinart, our guest, have done well and managed the enterprise well, still, there's a lot of restaurants that have closed down. When I hear the numbers of the number of restaurants that have closed down and the difficulties that the hospitality industry is having, I always think of Matt and Eric and hope that they're going to give us some good news about the present and the future improving. Let's talk, Kenny, what do we got? Oh, I didn't welcome Kenny. First of all, our number one fan, Adrian, wrote in last week and said he missed you too.
So Big thank you to Adrian. Thank you to Adrian for that.
Okay. All right. Kenny, tell us a little bit about Culinart.
Yes, Culinart Group is a regionally focused boutique dining services provider. Backed by Compass Group, the global leader in food service excellence, Culinart's talented leadership team follows a people-first philosophy that drives their customized programs. They operate on-site dining programs for corporations, higher education institutions, private schools, healthcare facilities, and recreation and leisure destinations in 18-plus states. As a food service provider, Culinart manages more than 300 locations, including cafes, catering, concessions, executive dining, office coffee, vending, and micro markets.
For example, they provide the dining services at Stony Brook University and Nassau Community College, the Knox School in St. James, Con Edison, and the United Nations in New York City, and rec and leisure destinations such as the Cradle and Aviation Museum in Garden City, Woodbury Jewish Center. Culinart also produces and stages special event catering for weddings, foreign bat mitzvahs, and large-scale galas and events such as the Hampton Classic Horse Show. Matt Santarpia and Eric Buchholz, welcome back to Radio Jobline.
Hey, thank you, Scott. Let me tell you, thank you to Kenny. Thank you to Scott. We have our producer on the back end, or your producer, Scott and Mike. We appreciate Mike's help. Eric Buchholz, our HR director, is on the line. But that was some introduction. I'm thinking we should take this on the road. What do you think, you know, guys?
Let's take a break before you get started and tell everybody we're having some fun with some new technology.
Yes.
Our first show after 6 years of doing without it. This is our first show using Zoom.
Hey, so listen.
We are now looking at, folks, I'm sure you're quite familiar with Zoom screens. So I can see Matt, can't see Eric, but I can see Kenny. And I can see my producer, and we're shooting the show a different way. We're going to try to make it available on our Instagram page so that you might actually be able to see the entire show if you're curious what it looks like. Although this doesn't look like a whole show because Matt has a great backdrop and food on the table, and I got blinds behind me, and Kenny's got his kitchen fan. So we're trying it, and we hope that it works well. Matt, how is it going? You hear the same things on the news that I do. I mean, I know you're in the business, but sure. You guys he have a different insight into how the business is doing. It's probably the number one affected business by the pandemic. So with that said, how's it been going? How are you guys doing? How's the industry doing?
Well, thank you. And thank you again for having us. But, you know, I will tell you in all honesty that for the first time in a long time, you know, at Culinart Group and Compass Group, you know, we really see light at the end of the tunnel for our industry. There's no doubt that the hospitality industry has been hit the hardest because of this pandemic. And so many throughout the country have lost their jobs and their lives, right? We always pause to remember that. And, you know, we never want to forget that, right? even as we continue to plot forward, because it's still happening now. But we feel with the vaccination process, the way things are looking with the pandemic for the country, but specifically in our industry, you know, we're reshaping how we do business. You're going to hear the word reimagined a few times today. We're reimagining the way we operate food service, dining services, in all of our types of businesses. But we will tell you that wholeheartedly, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And we are preparing now, as we call it at Culinart Group, for the great return, right? We are now getting ready to re-energize and reopen these locations. Some are starting to come back online sooner rather than later, but we do see light at the end of the tunnel. Eric, from a business perspective, I think I'm on the money with that. I mean, we do see some positive momentum, correct?
Yeah, it's we've definitely seen an improvement in the number of our clients. Well, I would say they're cautiously optimistic, but more are contacting us to move up their return date for more of their employees, right? So we've been maintaining, but in some places they're now starting to phase people back in. So in one location, we had 150 employees come back. The clients are feeling confident. I do agree with Matt's comment about the vaccine. I think that's, they feel like not the end, but better days are ahead. And so they're making plans now for, as Matt said, the great return.
So let me just throw in there for anybody that's local, I want to do a shout out to Stony Brook. I got my second vaccine this morning. I am fully vaccinated.
And you look good. I'm telling you, you look good for a second vaccine, Scott.
Well, talk to me later. But both times, I just want to say congratulate Stony Brook, because both times I went there, I was in and out in 15, 20 minutes. And I also, except for the fact that they make you wait 15 minutes to make sure you don't have a bad reaction. But other than that, you get right in, you get right out. They're doing a fabulous job over there. So kudos to Stony Brook University for handling this thing so well. I know if they had more supply, they could be doing a whole lot more people all over Long Island. But I think what we just heard in New York, guys, was that we are allowed to have indoor dining again. Is it 25% capacity at the moment? I know some restaurant owners were waiting till it was 50% to say, because they couldn't open at 25%. It didn't make any sense. So talk to us about the current pulse, you know, of the New York restaurant scene.
Sure. Let me also, thank you for that Stony Brook accolade. You mentioned it in your opening remarks. Culinart does all the dining services at Stony Brook University. We're also supporting that mass vaccination center at mm-hmm. Stony Brook with food and dining services. So
I didn't get any food. Wait a minute. I was there today. I didn't get any food.
No, well, we're gonna have to send you something at least.
We'll send you a little gift basket.
Right. Right. A COVID vaccination gift basket. But thank you for that shout out. They are tremendous clients. You know, we're in the new semester as we speak. Mm-hmm. We're operating there under strict safety guidelines. But Stony Brook for Long Island is a winner for us. And they're a terrific partner. And my father-in-law also is going there for the vaccine. So congratulations on getting that vaccine. That's wonderful.
Let me ask you, do you know if they are you knowledgeable at all of their plan? I mean, are they going to have students back on campus? Do you know?
Yes. Yes, they are. The students are back on campus now in small numbers.
Right.
And Eric, from a logistics standpoint, they are plotting forward with reopening, correct?
Well, yeah, we've reopened. We thought that we'd only have maybe one of the cafes on campus open, but we have three. Now, mm-hmm. the hours have been reduced. Certainly, we're not offering as many options as we had, but I think we're offering better options. We're turning the menu over more frequently to try and keep the kids, try and keep them happy. And keep them engaged in the program. So it's a significantly reduced in terms of the number of people that are enrolled in the meal program. But I think we're doing a good job in getting great participation from the people that are there.
Does the fall to you guys look as though we might have back to full, you know, in-person classes?
Yes. I will tell you, all of our school business, and we're about 70% private schools, and K through 12 and such, and Stony Brook, of course. All of our clients are counting on the return in August and in September. They're planning on it because they have to reopen. You know, some of them have been closed maybe a year, and some maybe more at this point. So they really need to reopen. They need to get the kids back into the school, and they're feeling confident that they'll be able to do that in the fall.
You know, we have to take a moment. You know, really, you guys are on the show quite often. You're some of my favorite guests. I know you guys well. I've got my producer and my super intern, Kenny Connolly, right here. If you would have told me last March, when this thing got really bad and really serious, that I, less than a year from then, would have developed a vaccine, and I would have gotten the vaccine in my arm in less than a year, I would have signed up for that. You know, I mean, in a second. It's possible that vaccines can take 2, 3, 4 years to develop. I know they're doing it a different way now, you know, with this mRNA technology. But I just think all that has happened here, it's amazing that this could have been so much worse. I mean, we're headed in the right direction finally. If you look at the numbers, you look at the deaths, you look at everything, it's starting to really look as though we have some immunity because so many people had the virus. So
right.
Many people had it and were asymptomatic, you know, and then you had obviously the 450 plus thousand people that are dead. But that when I look at those numbers, Matt, I say to myself, well, if 470,000 people died, how many people had the virus?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, you're right on the money. I think a lot of people may have had it, you know, me included. You know, I was in early January, February with Eric. We were traveling across the country, you know, for conferences and meetings and supporting our business operations, literally across the country. And I wasn't feeling well early January, neither was Eric. So we thought maybe we have had it. You know, we're tested regularly and have been negative, but who knows? But so much has happened, Scott, in this year. You know, when you look back at it, it really does boggle your mind. And I think this positive momentum we're seeing now from a company and a hospitality industry perspective is because we were able to pivot and change, you know, the way we do business. You know, every month, everything changed, right? So who would have known that a year later, you know, we're finally getting into a positive momentum. My own kid's school district, I'm on Hicksville, Long Island. They announced yesterday they're going back to full 5-day classes starting in March and April. Mm-hmm. So they were a hybrid schedule. You know, Eric's children are back in full time. So we see now, specifically from January forward, since the vaccination process has happened, that there really is a loosening up. So we can feel that. We can feel that momentum, and that's helping us.
Have you guys noticed that there seems to be sort of a difference since the vaccine started, you know, getting all this publicity and all the great numbers came back, you know, about 95% effectiveness, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine I hear is going to be 100% effective against serious and death. I mean, it's not 100% effective by getting the virus, but it's 100% effective at keeping people from dying. So,
thank goodness.
So that one in the mix, right? And then you get a lot more Americans. You're going to have sporting events are going to have people in the fans. I bet you're thinking about that too, guys. Don't you handle some of the concessions at these giant sporting venues?
Yes, Compass Group handles events and entertainment. We have separate companies in that Compass Group family of great companies. Culinart is one part of that. Mm-hmm. But they have Levy Restaurants, which handles all events and entertainment, large arenas. Culinart Group handles museums. We have a catering division. We have an amusement park local to New York and Rye Playland. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that avenue for us has taken a big hit, but we see that loosening up. You're allowed to have larger events now with testing in place. The venues were announced in our state that are beginning to open back up live performances, you know, at reduced capacity, much like the restaurant. So even that seems to be happening. We waited so long for it that now it seems like every day we're getting a new opening. And Eric, our events and entertainment division really has pivoted their business model too, because they've been helping out in emergency services, haven't they?
That's right. They're so for the storms, they're feeding the workers out on the on the road, fixing those power lines. When we had the hurricane over the summer or tropical storm, we were serving what, 10,000 meals a day.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable. And all those companies, Johnson & Johnson, and all the vaccine companies you just mentioned, all the pharmaceutical companies, we do the food for all those companies. One of the compass sectors. So I'd like to think that we somehow contributed to the vaccine being developed a little bit earlier. That might be a bit of a stretch. But, we definitely we're in all those spaces. So when I hear those names, I know a lot of those. I know a lot of the staff there, and it has been an interesting journey, to say the least.
Well, Scott, how do we, these scientists, they're working long hours, so those meals that we gave them make that vaccine progress go faster, Eric. That's a good point. I like that.
Not for them, in the fact that they ate, they would never have died.
Right.
That's right.
All right. So we do seem to have turned a corner. Now, there's still one pretty big concern. And if you watch a little too much TV news, as I do, you're hearing a lot of the word variants.
Yes.
And there are variants from Brazil. There are variants from Brooklyn. There are variants from everywhere. I mean,
I knew it was going to be Brooklyn.
Every time we have this thing licked, they come up with another variant. But the way things are dropping now, with the immunity we have from all the people that have had it, and the great vaccine work they're doing 1.5 million people a day are getting the vaccine. That's going to add up quick.
Yeah, more than they anticipated. They anticipated 1 million a day, and we're already 1.5, which is amazing when you think of that.
So if you do the math, times 30, it's like, 40 million people a month that are getting the vaccine. So, of course, the second vaccine does slow things down a little bit. That's why that Johnson & Johnson thing is going to be great. But I'm expecting to go to a ball game this year. I'm going to take Kenny to a Yankee game.
That would be awesome.
And we're hoping that there's going to be at least, I think they said 10% capacity, was it?
Kenny? I believe so. I know the New York Islanders with the Nassau Coliseum, they're supposed to open up for fans at 10% in like 2 weeks or so. So I'm assuming it's along the same guidelines for baseball.
Yeah, so that's
yes,
my
it's
only
10% in large arenas.
The remaining fear, guys, is that these variants are going to rear their ugly head and slow things down again. But assuming that we can get enough people vaccinated before the variants do their thing, then it won't make any difference. And then the curve continues to go down. And next time we have you on the show, Matt, you'll be telling us that it's 50% or 75% capacity. And this thing will almost be behind us.
We'll be there in person. We'll be back in the studio.
Yeah, and from now on, you're going to be doing catering.
Right.
I didn't tell you this. Kenny and I have decided, if you come on our show, you got to bring some food.
Eric, next time we do this show, Eric, we really have to get a platter together and bring it to the studio. You're absolutely right.
Too fed yet.
We absolutely will. We will bring. Whatever you guys want, you can name it, and we'll bring it for you the next time we're together in person.
All right. Now you guys, since the show is Joblin, we were talking before we started tonight, Matt, about the video interviews and about how they're becoming quite prevalent in this world. And none of my companies are talking to anybody unless there's a video interview or at least a call to get things started. How are people adjusting to that?
Well, we talk about this new normal, right? We hear it so much that we're, oh my gosh, it's all the time. But, we talk about it quite often at our company and with our team members, how do we navigate this new normal together? And one of the items of this new normal is this, video interview process. Now at Compass Group and Cullinart, we were doing that pre-pandemic. We had video panels, if you will. We were utilizing Zoom, et cetera. But now, as you mentioned, Scott, everyone is going virtual. Why get together and risk it when you can do something virtually? So as you're preparing to enter the job market, whether it's the hospitality industry or beyond, or re-enter the job market, maybe you've been furloughed or laid off and now you're coming back into the job market after weeks or months, utilizing this video technology for interview processes is extremely important. And getting familiar on how to do it and practicing is not difficult, but there are tips that, you know, make sure your background is sufficient. Make sure the lighting is sufficient. Do a practice Zoom interview, if you will, with someone for a few minutes before you log on. Log on early, right? Because this technology, even when we reopen everything, which is coming, still will be a part of the way we do business. So the new interviewer has to look at the Zoom interview or the virtual interview as if they're looking at a real in-person interview.
Right.
Because that's where we're moving towards.
I think people are underestimating the importance of having a nice set. Right. I mean, right now I don't have much of a set. I have my blinds behind me. You've got a gorgeous one with the
background.
It's sort of a computer generated background.
Yes. Yes.
But it looks really good. And you know, Kenny and Mike, they look fine. But I think when you're being interviewed, you've got to have everything right. It's not a maybe. You got to have good lighting. You have to have good sound. You need to test all this stuff. Zoom allows you to test it before you start. And you certainly want to practice, because so much of what we do and say, I mean, look at my face and my hands and my facial expression. It's making the point. By the way, you miss that on a call. You know,
right.
You don't see the facial expression or the body language or anything. So anyway, with this, you're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor and Ken Connolly. We'll be right back.
And now it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome back to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor and Super Intern Ken Connolly. We're talking about the hospitality industry today with our, what seems like, personal friends. We've had Matt and Eric on the show a number of times, especially Matt. He's one of our favorite guests, a fabulous guy, and really knowledgeable of the industry and the entire, not just restaurants, the entire hospitality industry. But before we get back to Matt and Eric, we're going to have Kenny do some business for us. Kenny?
A couple pieces of business here, starting with Charlie Lee's Biz Shout. Socially Promote Yourself or Your Business is a promotional and advertising platform in social media that combines the cultures and services of Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, sharing a new business casual environment to uniquely promote content through entertaining shouts. For their first service, they design a creative resume to help users potentially land their dream job five times greater by showcasing their elevator pitch and demonstration videos in a handsomely designed portfolio and searchable database. Joining BizShout and designing a creative resume are free at BizShout.com, spelled with two Z's. Build yours today for faster placements. And our second piece here is Joe Campolo and Donna Sirianni. We had them on a couple of weeks ago. And their new webinar, Moving Forward Strategies, imagine unlocking your greatest potential by being challenged and inspired while surrounding yourself with like-minded professionals. You can make that a reality today by being part of Moving Forward Strategies, Long Island's premier personal and professional training experience. Moving Forward Strategies is a first-of-its-kind company that focuses on creating a community of leaders who seek customized training experiences to help them propel forward both personally and professionally. Find out more at www.movingforwardstrategies.com. And to jump back in here to the show, I just had a question for you and Eric, Matt. In the last segment, we talked about, you know, Zoom interviewing. And I just wanted to know, what's like a couple of your biggest pieces of advice for doing the interview over Zoom?
Sure. Well, thank you, Kenny. We appreciate that. And Scott, thank you again for your kind words. And Eric and I will do this together. I'll start us off. I think now, you know, pandemic aside, you know, we are at a unique crossroads when it comes to interviewing and looking for work because of this technology. And I'm not talking about the Zoom, but I'm talking about, you know, our ability to research companies and positions. I mean, years ago when I was in, you know, college and working in the hotel business starting, you know, I remember going to the library. This is a true story. and I don't feel that old, but going to the library to research the companies I was interviewing for.
It
was Hilton. You what?
Microfiche.
Yes. I remember doing that microfilm, you know, when a big machine, you know, Kenny and Mike who were listening, you know, Eric Scott and myself remember those machines, but they were bigger than your house. Mm-hmm. And you were looking at like a slide. And I was researching the Hilton, the Radisson, and finally Cullen Art Group, you know, 20 plus years ago. So I think our ability to research the company is important. For example, at Compass Group and at Cullen Art Group, we're recognized by Forbes magazine for being a leader in diversity and inclusion. Mm-hmm. And in today, with everything going on, pandemic, social unrest, et cetera, it's nice to work for a company that's not perfect, but that puts a lot of emphasis on diversity, inclusion, fair treatment, et cetera, right? So when you're looking for a company to join, these are the things now because of Google and our computers that we can really do our homework on. So one of my biggest pieces of advice beyond virtual interviewing is take some time, no matter what the position is, and do a little research and homework. That transcends very nicely during the interview process. Eric, that rehearsal part and research, you know, that's a big part of getting ready for an interview, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, it's incredibly important. You know, in my experience, for people to be successful, they have to share the ideals, the culture of the company that they're going to work for, right? Because you can get a job anywhere. Where you're going to be really successful is when your beliefs align with the company beliefs. And if that's, you know, environmental, if it's, about community relations, if it's about the product they're creating, you have to have that connection to be successful. And, you know, when you go in those interviews, I think it's really important not just tell them what you've done, but tell them what you're going to be able to do for them. You know, really understand the why of what they do, not just the what, like the product they put out, but the purpose behind it. And that I think people that do their search that way, that apply to companies that match with what, you know, what how they see the world or what's important to them. I think that's the right way to say it. They'll do a lot better, and it'll be more natural during the interview, and they'll connect with the interviewer, especially because we're doing more recorded interviews now. Prior to doing those Zoom interviews where it's live or where it's multiple people on the call at the same time.
Yeah, let me amplify this point. I wrote an article last month for Long Island Business News, and the article was all about how to prepare for job interviews, but it actually touched on something, guys, that people don't do enough, and that's how much time to spend. So I posed the question in the article. I said, well, what's more important? A college paper that could change your grade from a B to an A or a B to a C, or a job interview? Which is more important? You know, black and white answer. The interview is more important. I mean, what difference is getting a B or a C mean in your real life? Once you get your degree and so on. But when I used to prepare for college papers, I would spend 5 to 10 hours on a college paper. And if I was studying for an exam, it'd be the same thing, 5 to 10 hours, a couple hours a day for 5 days. And I don't see people putting that kind of time into preparing for job interviews. There's so much you can learn, guys. You can learn the competition of the company. You can learn the company systems. You can talk to people that work at the company, get the flow. You can talk about people who know the hiring manager. So, oh, I'm going to be getting interviewed next week by this guy, Matt Santarpi. What kind of guy is he? Well, you know, and it wouldn't it be great if someone said, well, they could tell you all about Matt, you know, and what kind of a guy he is and his role with the company and how influential he is. So there's so much depth of research that you can do to improve your position. Maybe it isn't necessary so much with a person who's waiting tables, I don't know. I mean, that's up for debate. Certainly the candidates that I work with that are in the scientific world, that are involved with biotechnology, these people can study the products of the companies that they go on interviews for hours and hours and hours. So ask yourself, how much time are you putting into preparing for your interview with Cullen?
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, and it's all kind of related. You know, maybe it's not a doctor or a lawyer or a scientist per se, but even if you're looking for an entry-level position, if you come into an interview, whether it's live or virtual, with some ammunition, quote-unquote, some information about the company beforehand, anyone who is interviewed for a living, and all of us have interviewed for many years, we're always impressed with that nugget. We're always impressed with that knowledge. And it's about practice, you're right. And it's also about, you know, getting it right from a technology standpoint. That's why a 5-minute rehearsal with a friend or a colleague or anyone, even if it's for an entry level, quote unquote, position, goes such a long way, right? So you're not doing it live for the first time. You don't know where the controls are. It sounds silly, but that one way of getting ready really puts you leaps and bounds ahead of other people. Also, I want to mention, Scott, our website, Compass Group Careers. If we have listeners that are looking for positions, you know, throughout the country, you know, it's compassgroupcareers.com. It has every Compass company listed on there, all hospitality and service related. You can put in an area you're looking for, a town, you know, a mile radius, and it gives you every position that's available. So for our listeners who are looking for work right now, that Compass Group Careers is probably, and I've been doing this for many years, Eric has been doing it for many years. Scott, no one's been doing it as longer as you, my friend, right? You're doing it a long time. I think within our industry, it's probably one of the most progressive websites for job seekers around today. I mean, it's high touch. You've got people that guide you through the process. So it really helps you out when you're reentering that job force.
You actually have openings on Long Island right now, right?
Yes.
All right. So you got to go give the website one more time so people that are looking for a job.
You can go to Compass Group.
Changer before you do that. They will, if you've fallen out of an industry that's suffering and you want to try to work in hospitality, Matt can help you get there. Give the website one more
time. Right. It's compassgroupcareers.com. So it's compassgroupcareers.com. And Eric, I don't know if you wanted to mention while we're together, speaking of Long Island, you know, we do have, you know, some interesting positions available right now in our neck of the woods. Eric, I don't know if you wanted to talk a little bit about that for any potential job seekers.
Eric, please do. We love that.
We when you think of Compass, you think of food service, hospitality. But we have a lot of, as Matt is a HR and HR recruiting person, I'm also an HR. We've had some operations background, but we are always looking for, you know, IT, finance, things like that. Right now we have two positions, or we'll have the second position posted Monday or Tuesday next week. One is for a senior controller or director of finance, and one is for a regional controller, a regional finance person. And they're the kind of the behind the scenes people who they make us look really good, right? They take care of all the financials and doing reporting and forecasting, and you know, they handle the money, so they're really important. We've got two of those positions that are coming available, and anywhere really in Long Island, New York, Northern Jersey, Southern Connecticut, anybody who's hearing this that's in that area, we're more than happy to sit down with you and talk about the opportunity and, you know, set up an interview for that position. So go online, apply for the job, and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to fill those positions quickly.
Sounds great. And actually, if they're not publicized yet, then if you tuned into Radio Jobline today, we got breaking news about those are the first mentions of those two jobs.
Right. You got a news break here.
Today, as a head start, writing a letter to Matt and Eric and get going, you job hunters out there. Listen, guys, I want to ask you a question. It's a little bit off topic, but I want to ask you about this. You hear things about people resisting masks, right? And I wondered, Matt, since you're also deeply involved and wonderful with training,
how do you
train people how to deal with that? So let's say, like, look, you've got not one restaurant, not two restaurants. You've got hundreds, you know, maybe even thousands of locations throughout the country, you know, where you're in a, whether it's a concession or an event or a restaurant or at a school or a university. So with all these things put together, some people are just mask resistant.
And sure.
And so I'm just thinking of a relatively newbie, you know, who's not been in the restaurant business very long, maybe 6 months, and she goes to her table, or she's showing people to a table, and the guy takes his mask off, and he's not supposed to take it off. I mean, do you train about the sensitivity of that? Because some people get violent in that. I mean, you hear these ridiculous stories.
Yes, no, that's a great, great question. And let me just tell you, Scott, when you have a face like mine, a mask really helps.
I mean,
people have been telling me to wear a mask long before the virus. I'll tell you that right now. So in my condition, a mask is wonderful, but I digress. Let me tell you about the mask issue, right? And we never want to ignore that. First and foremost, at Cullen Art and Compass, you know, we've had very little pushback with the mask initiative, which is a testament to our fabulous team members. I can be honest with you. We've had very little instances of team members, you know, having an issue with the mask or not wearing the mask, which is great, right? Which
That's
is wonderful.
Because you did the training. See,
yes.
Unlike a restaurant, like a single restaurant, Matt, a single freestanding restaurant that's got no real leadership, no
yes.
corporation above it to give it rules and regulations. So it's different for them.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think you have to set the, right, you're right. You set the standard, right? I mean, with us, you know, we set the standard from the very beginning that this is a company standard and there's no ifs, ands, or buts with this protocol. But we also talk about how to wear a mask and how to, you know, speak differently when you're wearing a mask. How to, you know, have that guest service excellence, we call that. You know, we base it on the Disney model, and we've talked about that at previous shows. But at Cullen Art, you know, we have a guest service program based on, you know, the wonderful world of Disney. And we trained at the Disney Institute. So we talk about how to wear a mask, why to wear a mask, projecting, smiling under the mask. But we also talk about what it means to operate in the new normal, right? And that when we all put the mask on for the first time, all of us were a little taken aback a year ago, right? Because we saw everyone with masks, and in our country, that wasn't a familiar sight. But we also share personal stories in that training about what the mask means and does, meaning that I'm not necessarily worried about myself, but I'm worried about your grandparents. I'm worried about my son, who's a type 1 diabetic and has a compromised immune system. So we talk about real life scenarios of why wearing a mask is not only company protocol, right? That's the easy part, but what it means to be in a society and what that mask means to help out one another, right? So we share personal stories in the training, and you'll be surprised when you do that and get down to the real thread that connects us all, that, you know, human connectivity, it makes a big difference when you're talking about a mask. So that's how we approach it. We share personal stories, and then we talk about company procedure.
One of my big disappointments, I would say, is that I was kind of hoping that the hospitality industry and the restaurants themselves would invest in some high-tech technology that was an air filtration system that pulled all the air up to the ceiling so it wasn't going across the table and things like that. Did that ever get any traction, Matt? Did restaurants start, you know, implementing things like that, that were using technology to their benefit?
Yes. In our business especially, remember, if we're talking about business and industry, we're inside of office buildings, we're serving, that's part of what we do. Eric mentioned schools, but yes, the larger institutions have invested in that air purification technology, and we see that. You know, I was at a school in Connecticut, one of our locations this week, and, you know, speaking of technology, in our team member communication area, we have a touchless, you know, temperature scanning mechanism, right? That we do a pre-service health check for all of our team members before they start to work. But now we have that technology. The minute you walk in, you know, it scans your temperature. But Eric, from a business standpoint, because Eric is close to it as well, you know, what are we seeing from our clients about that air system and about their safety protocol?
Well, I'll tell you, I think for a lot of our clients, you know, this was new to them, but they didn't have the expertise to deal with, you know, the virus and you know, mask compliance and things like that. And by the way, Matt did put together an entire training program. He did an excellent job. And, you know, that personal touch is why the folks in the field accepted that. And we've had, I don't think we've had a single case of work-related COVID transmission, at least not that I'm aware of, because people are doing the right thing. Our clients, it's all based on their, it's all based on what they can afford to do. And so where they couldn't invest in something like that, we've had to change the scope of service. We've had to change the way we do things, going from, salad bars to prepacked salads, right? So lots of foods to go and things like that. But if they can't afford the technology, then we've had to change how we do things in order to keep them as safe as possible.
I was just thinking that, when I go to the doctor's office, I'm always afraid that somebody sick is going to, breathe on me or, if all industry, all the corporations, all the restaurants, all the public places had invested in some sort of very expensive, but very successful air filtration system that made it safer to do all these things, maybe we wouldn't be in the soup that we're in, but I guess it's too expensive, right, guys?
It's expensive. I think a lot of businesses, not just our own, were taken off guard, by the whole virus, thinking that, this will be a month, 2 months.
Right.
This is not going to happen in this country. And we could go down the list, right? We're not used to these things happening because we're supposed to know exactly what we're doing. So I think that had a lot to do with it, too. And it kind of got away from them. But your large resorts, your hospital healthcare facilities, your large buildings, some large restaurants, our catering facilities have all invested in those air purification systems. So I think they're more prevalent now than we thought, right? Certainly from our business perspective, and they do help.
I never noticed any real government connection. Governor Cuomo might say, "Well, if you have this air filtration system, your curfew is this time." If you know what I mean? So certain people that made that investment could have had more customers, and the people that didn't make the investment couldn't have had the same customers. But I never really saw much about rules, regulations, state, government, federal, in any way, local, that were connected to filtration.
I think most of it was schools. I mean, all the legislation I've seen really was schools, and a lot of the schools in our areas, because we all live, within a 50-mile radius of each other, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of those schools did invest in that air purification technology. But you're right. We didn't hear much about it, in the beginning.
All right. Well, I hope we're kind of running out of time. I'd like you guys to give the website one more time, please, that has the jobs and everything about Culinary.
Sure. You can go onto compassgroupcareers.com. That's our very robust website for job seekers, right? A lot of information. You get guided through the site. There's someone immediately that contacts you and gives you information about the company so you can make an educated decision. Because remember, it's not just Culinary. Culinary is part of a family of great companies. And Eric, I don't know if you wanted to give the social media locations for Culinary Group as well.
We only have a few seconds. Do it quick, Eric.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and jobs are posted there regularly.
All right. Thank you so much for being here, guys, and doing such a fabulous job keeping us all apprised of what's happening in this crazy hospitality restaurant industry. But you guys are doing it, and thanks, thank goodness that you are. All right. You've been listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. We're out of time. I will see you next week, everybody. Happy hunting.